Good evening. Glad to have you along with us here as we are continuing our Live at Five sermon series. My name is Justin Reed, and I am honored to be the pulpit minister at the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at the base of Short Mountain, Woodbury, Tennessee, 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. And you would be our honored guest at every service that we have. And we do appreciate you finding us here tonight. What we're going to do here in about a minute and a half is we are going to simply open God's Word, and we're going to study about an Old Testament character and make some applications through God's Word how we are to live today. We're going to be talking about Rahab. As you can see from the presentation beside me, Rahab and Salvation. Now, I am sharing this for the Facebook page for the Wood Church Christ. We are live at 5. Well, it's almost 5, but you get the gist. If you want to go ahead and open your copy of God's Word, we will be beginning in the second chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, 9 through 13, we'll be reading here in less than a minute. Then we will get into our lesson more. Let me move this out of the way because I don't want to be distracted, because it's easy for me to do. I hope that you've been having a good day. I tell you what, world's crazy, isn't it? I'm going to give you, at absolutely no cost, so don't charge for this, we're preaching the Word of God, but I think you might benefit from Justin Reed's way to de-stress. You ready? I take the news, and I turn it off. And I take people posting on this side, and I close out of the app. And I take people posting on that side, and I close out of the app, and I get in God's Word. And I have found, personally me, I am happier at the end of the day when I do so. So feel free to take that and use it in your life. And we can always spend more time in God's Word. Amen. I've got 5 o'clock. We are live. Let's begin our lesson here tonight. We're going to talk about Rahab and salvation. Now, as I mentioned this morning at Wood, what I find interesting, Rahab, one of the two women mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the great hall of fame of faith. Of course, you have Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and you have Rahab. Let's begin our study here in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came up out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Since I have shown you kindness, will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token. And ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. A very bold, courageous statement from one Rahab. We need to, before we get into our lesson, to better understand the world Rahab is in, notice a few things, friends. In the book of Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, the Bible says, But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. Well, by the time we get to the book of Joshua, the iniquity of the Amorites is full. It's akin to Sodom, or maybe the pre-flood earth, where all their deeds were wicked continually. Friends, Rahab lived in the middle of such a situation. Now, she would have worshipped a false god, some idol, or as the case may have been, a multitude of idols. We gather by the name Rahab the harlot. More likely than not, she would have sold her body for a living. Now, I've heard some people say, well, that really means innkeeper. Well, it really may mean one thing or another, but the Bible calls her Rahab the harlot. So we're just going off the name. But even if she didn't, friends, she still worshipped a false god, and she still knew no moral absolutes, and her conscience was still trained to sin. And friends, she had no revelation from God, no absolute standard, because she was not a Jew. And at that time, God's chosen people were the Jews, and they had a direct written revelation, the Ten Commandments, and then the book of Leviticus, the Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, friends. So I know this much about Rahab. Rahab's living in a wicked environment. But notice this. For about the last month, once we get to her in the second chapter of the book of Joshua, she had come to a knowledge of the one true God. How do I know? She admits it. She knew that God's people were right on the other side of the Jordan. She had heard how they had defeated the kings of Sihon and Og, utterly defeated them. She had heard how God had spoiled Egypt. She heard about the crossing of the Red Sea, and she had heard, no doubt, about the manna, literally what in Hebrew, that God provided them, heard about the quail. She had no doubt heard, because word was spread fast, you've got these people, and they're out there wandering. And they've been wandering for 40 years, and their clothes didn't wear out. And no doubt she would have heard about the waters at Meribah and the two different events that happened there, friends. And through her window, because it's thought in the city of Jericho, she would have had a corner building that was built into the wall, so she would have been able to see out. She may have been more of an innkeeper, but still nonetheless. She might could have even seen the place where they worship. And if she'd been able to see them at all, she would have seen that pillar of a cloud by day, friends, and that pillar of a cloud by night. That'd be enough to make anyone want to know more about these Israelites. And friends, we also know about Rahab. She wanted to be saved from destruction. That's more important to any allegiance to a country or to an idol. And she's thinking, if Jehovah extended grace, if this so-called God of the Israelites would extend grace, I would take it. Friends, we see by providence of God, the spies that were sent in to spy out the land of Canaan, they lodge in her place, and she protects them from imminent death. And friends, we know the story of Rahab, don't we? That whoever was in her house, whoever was within the physical confines of her house would be saved, because their world was scheduled for destruction. Friends, we're going to make the spiritual application tonight. Whoever's in the spiritual confines of the church and faithful in it will be saved, because our world today is also scheduled for destruction. Friends, like Rahab the harlot, in order to be saved, we must come to certain realizations. I've got four of them here tonight. That Rahab, she had to see the evidence, she had to weigh it out, and make a decision upon that, friends. And if we want to be saved, we must perform likewise. You ready? Our first realization that Rahab had to realize to be saved, likewise for us, friends, is that Jehovah, that is the God up in heaven, He is the Lord of heaven, but He's also the Lord of earth. Watch this. Rahab would have come to this conclusion with the knowledge of God's wonder. Once again, how the Israelites would have crossed on the Red Sea, but they crossed when it was dry. The utter defeat of Sihon, the king, and Og, the king, and the manna, and the wilderness, and the quails, and these pillars of fire and pillar of clouds, friends. She could have seen the pillars. She could have heard of the events that have happened in the past month or so. Maybe a little while longer than that, but still she could have heard about these things. And so she's weighing the evidence, and maybe she went, well, this idol that I pray to's never done anything for me. Yet I can see a manifestation of the God that the Israelites serve. Friends, I'm going to go ahead and put the rest of our slide up here. Let's run these references. Today, we realize that Jesus the Christ, He is Jehovah. Go with me to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, if you will, for just a minute. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Now, Isaiah is prophesying about 700 years before the time of Christ. And in this passage, he's prophesying about John the Baptist. Notice, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Well, let's see that be fulfilled there in the third chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. John the Baptist is preaching, and the Bible says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. See, friends, it was prophesied that Jesus is Jehovah. John the Baptist pointed to the fact Jesus is Jehovah, and then Jesus appears, and it's almost more or less John the Baptist goes, and there he is. But friends, we also need to realize that since Jesus is Jehovah, that he has all authority. You familiar with the Great Commission passage in Matthew 28:18, all powers given unto me in heaven and on earth? All power, which means Jesus Christ, friends, has all authority. But notice how Paul describes Jesus when he writes to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:13-16, because we see that, well, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. I give thee charge in the sight of God, Paul says, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession that he is the Christ. Thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, to the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. See, friends, there are kings in the world. We have presidents of the United States. There are lords or masters. Jesus is above those. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. What about that passage there in John chapter 20, 30 and 31? That's my answer to, or it's John's answer really to, why did I write this book? He says, I didn't record everything that happened with Jesus, but notice he said, these things are written that you might believe, and in that believing you might have everlasting life through his name. See, friends, the things that are written in the Bible, it's not because Paul wanted to show you how good of a writer he was, or John, or Luke, or any other, but it was written so we can read and we can believe. And friends, we also need to throw in there what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:13-18, because we need to consider the witnesses. See, these people that are writing the New Testament for us, eyewitnesses, they were there. Notice this, 2 Peter 1:13-18. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have remembrance always in these things. For you have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. He says, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father glory and honor. There came such a voice, saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. This is the voice which came from heaven, which we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. What are you saying, Peter? He says, I'm a witness. He says, I'm ready to depart, but since I'm still here, I'm going to remind you the things you know. And listen, believe what I tell you, because I saw him. I heard him. Friends, we see that Rahab could realize that Jehovah is the Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, and today Jesus Christ, that's God. He's God in the flesh. So we must know his wonders and consider what the New Testament says about him. Our second thing this evening, when we talk about Rahab and salvation, friends, Rahab had to realize that Jehovah, well, he's a God of kindness. He's a God of kindness. See, now these Canaanite gods that she would have worshipped, they were vicious, they were twisted, they weren't real. Well, there was a real statue that they would have worshipped. I guess I should clarify that, but they had no power, friends. Yet she had to believe that God, capital G God, God in heaven, Yahweh, Jehovah, had a place for her. And through the spies, that was shown. It was shown she had a place, friends, and we also need to realize that God has been kind towards us. Well, how has he been kind towards us? Well, let's look. Let's just go and put all the rest of these up there. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, which is what we're studying, by the way, Wednesday nights. Hope you can come back for that study. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, but God commended his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And you may be saying, wait, Brother Justin, that's great, but Rahab was not alive when Jesus was alive. I never said she was. We're talking about you and me now. God commended his love for Justin Reed. God commended his love for, insert your name here, and that while Justin Reed was still a sinner, while, insert your name here, was just a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ died for you. You want to talk about the undying love of our Savior? He died knowing that I was going opposite of the way he wanted me to. He died on the cross for me without me even coming into this world yet. And he did the same for you. What about 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7? Well, there Peter puts it this way. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, that he may lift you up in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. See, God cares for you. Don't believe me? What's the golden text of the Bible? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. See, God shows his love by sending his Son to die for me. And friends, go with me there to that wonderful little letter of Titus. Because we see that God's grace hath appeared. God's grace has appeared. Notice Titus 2, 11 through 14. Paul tells Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. What do you mean? God sent Jesus to die for all. Let's very quickly look in that passage in Luke 2, verses 8 through 11, the birth of Christ. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was born to die for me and to die for you. And that's God showing his kindness, friends. Watch this. God took action to save you. And God loves you just like he loved Rahab. God provided ways for Rahab immediately, right then and there, to be saved. And Rahab's mentioned later as being better. Friends, Jehovah is a God of kindness. Number three, as we're looking at Rahab and salvation, Rahab had to realize that Jehovah God keeps his word. And friends, for us today to be saved, we must also realize that God in heaven keeps his word. Friends, it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, that's what your three dots mean. Therefore, his word is true. See, if God at any point throughout recorded history or before they started recording history in Genesis 1:1, when he literally spoke the world into existence, if God had lied, he wouldn't be God. But since he is God, and we know it is impossible, the Bible tells us time and time again, it is impossible for God to lie. That means anything that God tells us is true. Man's the one that comes up with the lies. Satan's the one that comes up with the lies, friends. Now, Rahab took a chance. She took what the spies told her, and she acted upon it. It might not have been easy, especially going contrary to the traditions that she would have grown up with, going contrary to what was accepted by society, But yet, friends, she took a chance. She took the word of the spies, and it worked out for her salvation. Now, friends, if you don't believe me, go back to the beginning of the book of Matthew. You could read the entirety of the Old Testament. It's a worthy thing. Yet at the same time, you can just concisely read Matthew and notice we have a concise record of God keeping His promises to Abraham and to David. Why? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then he goes right from Abraham and he shows how God kept that promise that He made to Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 3. And He fulfilled it by this son, by this son, by this son, and carries that messianic line all the way to Jesus Christ. Friends, that's Jehovah keeping His word that He began in the 12th chapter of the Bible. And it's fulfilled at the beginning of the New Testament, friends. Well, today, when we talk about God keeping His word, what has God promised me? And what has God promised you? And keep in mind, all these come from His word, because we know Jesus Christ says in John 12:12 that Thy word is truth. Now notice this, Titus 2 and verse 2. I don't know why that says Titus 2 and verse 2, because that is the wrong passage, because that's talking about elders. But it's Titus 1:2. Sorry, I don't know. I get fast typing. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Friends, we have been promised eternal life if we submit to His terms. God, who cannot lie, promised you and I eternal life. But friends, He also promised us hope. And what better is there than hope in a crazy world that we live in today, that Peter lived in the first century? Notice 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, this hope, it has been reserved for you. It's been reserved for me, friends. God has promised us hope. And God has promised us salvation. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned. Now, that doesn't mean that at the snap of a finger, everybody's going to be saved. No, no, quite the opposite, friends. We must submit to God. And the Bible tells us many people don't want to yield their way to His. But yet, God has promised that we have a way to be saved. And that happened when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and then we preached Jesus, His cross, and Him crucified. Friends, Rahab had to realize that Jehovah keeps His word, and we would do well to realize that as well. God's always kept His word, and He always will. The final thing that Rahab had to acknowledge in order to be saved is that Jehovah's will must be obeyed. Watch this. It must be obeyed. Now, if you're familiar with the story in Joshua 2, she was told, in order to be saved, you're going to take a scarlet ribbon and hang it out that window. When we come up to destroy the city of Jericho, we will get you out. But only those that are in your house, your physical confines of your house, and only if you put out the ribbon. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you now, the story goes, the Bible tells it, you know it. She put the scarlet ribbon out. She and her household were saved. However, if she had not put the ribbon out and just said, well, they said they'll do it, I'm not going to do my part, friends, she would not have been saved. If she had gathered all her family in that physical confines of that house and yet did not put that scarlet ribbon out, I tell you right now, she would not have been saved. And I tell you what else, if she had gathered all her family in the confines of that physical house and had put out a black ribbon or a blue or a purple or a yellow or any color but scarlet, friends, she would not have been saved. Why? Because she had to obey her command. Her command was, get everybody in here and put the ribbon out, friends. And that's what she did. And her family, they were saved in that moment from the destruction of the city. Today, friends, we must be in the Lord's house. Paul calls that the church in 1 Timothy 3:15. How do you get in the church? You're baptized into Christ. You don't fill out a membership card. You're not voted on. That's not in the Bible, friends. But I tell you what, Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Just as Rahab's family had to be within the physical confines of that household, we must be in the Lord's house, the church, to be saved. I don't mean the building. Friends, the church is not the building. That's the church house. That's the meeting house. That's where the church assembles. But the church, you must be in the church. Now, I tell you what, there are many people today who they say, well, that's all fine and well, preacher, but I don't really think that God's will has to be obeyed. Because they say, or believe, because they say if you don't believe that, then that negates grace. Friends, it's not so in Rahab's case. She had to believe and she had to obey it. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, cast out devils? He'll say, depart from me, I don't know you, ye that work iniquity. Friends, we can't say, well, I really want to be saved. I really want my sins forgiven, but I don't want to do what he said. Then your sins won't be forgiven. Matthew 28:18-20. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Excuse me, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples, teaching all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, will be loosed in heaven. Friends, what the apostles taught us in the New Testament, that's binding for us today. And we must be a believer and obedient to God's will. In Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, being made complete, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You want to be saved from your sins? You've got to obey the will of Jehovah. Now, Rahab had to obey God's will for her right there with the spies said, you've got to put the scarlet ribbon out and have your family in these walls. Today we must be in the Lord's church, friends. Destruction is coming near. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians and the first chapter there. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Paul says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. He's taking on vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the Lord of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. Friends, there is coming a day of destruction, like in a sense in the destruction of the days of Rahab, although God's people aren't going to march around the city and it fall. But destruction is coming, friends. Are you prepared? Well, let me answer, or if you're not prepared, let me tell you how to be prepared. I want you to picture a destroying army is crossing the river. Picture an emissary from God, if you will. And he says, you don't want to be destroyed? Here's what you do. He says, you've got to believe. Jesus Christ said that, John 8:24, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Jesus Christ also said, you must repent. That's turn away from sin, turn to God. I tell you, nay, Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And he says the same thing in verse 5. That emissary also said, Jesus said, you must confess. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And upon that confession, Jesus said, we've already quoted it, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and, conjunction, and joins two thoughts. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned. Friends, there is destruction coming. Are you prepared? Listen to the word of Christ. Obey the will of Jehovah. Friends, Rahab had to learn four things. We must learn them also if we want to escape coming destruction. Number one, that Jehovah is the Lord of heaven and earth. He has all power and He controls everything. Number two, that He's a God of kindness. Number three, that He keeps His word. And number four, His word, He must be obeyed. If you're not obedient, I would start. And there's no better time than now to do so. Maybe you'd like to study God's word further. If I can be of assistance, please reach out to me. I would be honored to help you either study with you personally or put you in contact with somebody maybe close to you. I know great Christians all over the world that I would love to help you study with. If you want a copy of these notes that might help you in your studies as well, they're all on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. You can Google my name, Justin, R-E-E-D, Bible. Click on the Bible Resources page, and they're in the sermons, alphabetical, so Rahab and Salvation. Now, very quickly, Wednesday night, as I've already mentioned once or twice, we will continue our study in the book of Romans. We're ready for the third chapter. We're trying to take it a chapter a week. That's kind of our goal here. So that will be live, 6:30 Wednesday night. Hope that you can join us for that. We will pick up in Matthew 24 on Thursday night, my father-in-law Bill Boyd and I. We talked about the destruction of Jerusalem this past week, and so now we will talk about the coming again of Christ and the question that he ended last week's study. I'll pose to you again. Can we say Jesus is coming soon? Well, we'll talk about that more in depth on Thursday night. Then go ahead Sunday morning. We'll be back in the building at 11 o'clock. Wood Church Christ, 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. I do pray that this lesson has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. I've thoroughly enjoyed working it up to be able to present it to you. Would you please share this video so that others can study along with us, so that they can learn these four things that Rahab had to learn, and hopefully if they're obedient, well, if they are obedient, then they will be saved from that destruction just like you and I will be. I would greatly appreciate you just simply sharing. You never know who it could reach. Just if you share it, somebody else shares it, and you just never know. We'll end this video the same way that we have ended every video in this series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.